flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Yes, that lion boy's on the right, babe. Not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie.
I've done better.
On the Fan. McBonagle here with you on this Thursday morning. I got you for 3 hours till the warm-up show at 5 a.m. 888-808-1019. That's the number to call. Fliegelman's on the other side, and we're taking your calls till 5 a.m. Knick fans, time to get excited. It's time to get excited. 5-game winning streak. An impressive statement victory, 122-112 over the Denver Nuggets, and they are now, along with the Toronto Raptors, the hottest team in the NBA, 5 consecutive wins, and it feels different than the 9-game winning streak a few weeks ago. It feels different because you're not beating the Wizards twice, you're not beating San Antonio. As well as they played during that stretch, ultimately, this is much more impressive going back-to-back nights against the 3 and 4 seeds out west. And making statements. It wasn't just like this game. Now, there's a lot to this game. And Jokic, weird game for him. Those 2 fouls early on in the game. He sits really the entire first half. Comes back. Doesn't really have a great game. You got, obviously, Murray gets that 4th foul early in the second half. And is unable to play as much as I'm sure Denver would like. But still, the New York Knicks make a statement victory here against the Denver Nuggets and this 5-game winning streak as we get ready to take on Boston the Saturday before the Super Bowl as that matchup looms. But this win and the way they were able to do it, and obviously how great Jalen Brunson is, 30 points, 15 assists, and that's really the first thing. Like, look at the last year, right? And I've talked about this a lot with Karl Anthony Towns and the way this team plays, like how important Karl Anthony Towns is. And he didn't have his best game in this game last night, but how important Karl Anthony Towns is, and maybe even more important than Jalen Brunson. But Jalen Brunson, the captain of this team, Like, it's not, last year they needed him to score. And I'm not saying they don't need him to score now. He gets 30 points in this game. But it's the 15 assists, the way he sees the floor right now. He's the, you know, obviously the top point guard in the East. He's going to be the starting point guard for the Eastern Conference All-Star team. And it's so much more than just being that guy. They rely on him to score. Like, there are different things in this game. Obviously, OG Anunoby, who's kind of been rejuvenated the last couple games. He's 5 for 7 from 3, 23 points, a plus 15 in this game. He was, you know, he's been playing much better. The vision to get Mikal Bridges in the game and get those corner threes going. It's not just Brunson's ability to score, and a lot of things you like about this game, right? Their ability to go on runs with the bench on the floor. Like, there was a stretch here. They get out to that early lead. I mentioned Jokic has the two early fouls. He's off the floor, and they kind of go on this run to start the first quarter. And Murray kind of brings them back, but they go on that run to start the first quarter. They lose it. They're down 7 points in the third quarter. They showed resiliency to get back into this game. They went on a run there in the late third quarter into the fourth quarter with the bench on the floor. The much maligned bench, Miles Bridges hitting big shots at the start of the fourth quarter to get them back into that game and back into the lead. And we talk about the minutes police. No one in this game played 40 minutes. No one in the game played 40 minutes. The bench saw more. Precious Achiuwa played 26. McBride plays 22. Goes 2 for 5 from three-point land. 12 points, a plus 9 in the game. They were able to go on runs and outplay the Denver Nuggets, who they've played very well against, right? Even going back to last year, that was like the quintessential win of that January run last year when they went into Denver and blew out the defending champion Denver Nuggets last year, and now they beat them twice. This game, they handled. There was a moment there, I think it was a 7-point deficit in the third quarter where you were worried the game might get out of hand, but they come right back and go on a run. They get, like I said, go on these runs with the bench. Bridges, I mean, McBride gives you the run there at the start of the fourth quarter, and it's just the way they're able to do it in different ways, too. Like, they have been traditionally a half-court offense here. They don't run that much, but in this game, they're getting those fast break points, those, you know, breakaway points, as well as points off turnovers, and that's the thing about this defense. It hasn't been the same as last year. There's been a lot of issues with their perimeter defense, the amount of open threes they've been giving up, but they have been turning the ball over at such a high clip over the last handful of games. They score 23 points off of 14 turnovers in this game. You could argue that's the game right there. I mean, there was a stretch where I think Hart and then OG Anunoby had three consecutive or 3 out of 4 possession dunks or layups at the other end off of turnovers and off of long rebounds. They were able to push the ball. They were able to set up their offense as well. They were able to beat you a myriad of different ways, this team. And that's why, you know, we get hung up on who they are and the style of play and I don't trust this defense. And, you know, we got sort of, I don't know, you want to call it bad, disappointing, what we expected kind of news out of Mitchell Robinson, where he's doing okay. He's jumping, he's shooting, but he's not cleared for contact yet. Got the trade deadline coming up on either the 5th or 6th of February. That's going to decide how this team moves forward. Maybe they do something. Maybe they don't. Do they improve the defense? Do they try and make a move that would improve the offense and depth, which clearly has been an issue for this team? But as they start to mold into what Jokic told you himself is a top 5 NBA championship contender, because that's what they are right now. You look at this, this team that played last night, this team that ran the Memphis Grizzlies out of the gym, their ability to score, their ability to get scoring from everywhere in the starting five, to have a guy like Josh Hart giving you a triple-double, heart of the team, rebounds, coast-to-coast. Obviously, how good Jalen Brunson is, his assists are way up. It's not even just the scoring. That's what I love about Brunson this year, because he's adapted. And it's taken time. And we talked about at that beginning of the year that it was going to take time for this team to gel. And now it's coming into its own here where the defense is picking up, especially turning the ball over and getting turnovers and points off of turnovers. You're seeing Jalen Brunson's ability to score 30 when he needs it, when Karl Anthony Towns is having an off night. But his assists are way up, 15 assists in this game. He's able to distribute the ball better. He understands there's more scorers. He doesn't have to be the guy that has to put up 50 if they're going to win a game against a good basketball team. That's who they were last year. And I know a lot of that was because of the injuries and everything, but whatever the case may be, right now, with this group, with Karl-Anthony Towns in the lineup, with OG Anunoby, who is getting better offensively. You saw the, like, again, I Jokic had a weird game. Once those two fouls, like, there was that one possession, OG Anunoby just blows right by him like he's not playing defense. So I think the Knicks caught a little bit of a break here. Those early fouls impacted what the Denver Nuggets were trying to do and certainly how they play their game. But still, this is an impressive win. They showed you their ability to score in different ways. They showed you ability to get turnovers and play defense. They showed you the ability to score and make a run with the bench on the court. They showed resiliency down seven after a big lead in the first. And then they showed you how to close out the game as well. Like, this Knicks team, right now, when they play like this, they're as good as anybody. And this five-game winning streak is far more impressive than the nine-game winning streak we saw a couple weeks ago. And they just took care of the big boys of the West. All right, yes, they've had a real tough time with the Thunder. Right? The Thunder, you could argue, is the best team, you know, hard to argue against it, the best team in the NBA right now, along with Cleveland. And they have taken it to the Knicks the two times they've played, and they've struggled against them. But besides that, this Denver Nugget team, okay, maybe they're not the team they were 2 years ago as NBA champions, or maybe the team they were at this point of the season last year. But this is one of the better teams in the West. Memphis has been one of the best teams in the West. And these two games right here are statement victories for the New York Knicks, who are finding themselves. And as we head into the All-Star break, and I've told you, I think OG needs a rest. We talk about the minutes police as the NBA is literally discussing whether or not to shorten the amount of minutes in a game. This team, off of this victory, is really showing you who they can be as a unit. And they're starting to gel. And Tibbs is going to, you know, he's going to have to work in the bench. And we saw that. In 26 minutes from Achua, 12 minutes from Payne, 22 from McBride. Even Shamet played 5 minutes. Like, if they can figure out a way to make this a 9-man rotation, an 8-man rotation on a regular basis, and prove that even against the teams like the Denver Nuggets, when they're down in the third quarter, you know, they can make a run with Brunson on the floor, on the bench. They can make a run leaning on McBride for a few minutes. They can make a run with Achua at the five and Cat on the bench. They can still play their game, and they can still stay in a game against the teams like the Memphis Grizzlies and the Denver Nuggets. So I think they showed you a lot in this game. They showed you the ability to score multiple ways. They showed you the bench can still be on a run. They showed you they can score off the turnover. They can score on a fast break. The defense has been much better. And Jalen Brunson not only can give you 30, but can give you 15 assists and see the floor and make, and between his passing, Hart's passing, Karl-Anthony Towns' ability to pass, they're a fluid offense who can beat you a myriad of different ways. And they are now on a five-game winning streak, finding their stride, better defensively, better offensively, more rounded, deeper rotation, and they are getting set up for what is going to be a big push. And starting really with the big game that we will, you know, get all hyped up the day before the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, you know, Monday it'll be overwhelmed by the Super Bowl. But Saturday night on ABC against the Boston Celtics, who they are now a game behind in the Eastern Conference standings as the 3 seed. This is a team that, for me, right now, as good as they were in January last year, on that run when Randle was still healthy before Randle got hurt, and as much fun as we had with them at the end of the year last year, and as much as Jalen Brunson put on his Superman cape and scored 50 a night to get them past Philadelphia, and I feel like had a very good chance to get past the Pacers, if not for the more injuries that continued to hamper them, OG, and we all know what happened in that series. They don't need anyone to wear the Superman cape. They have guys who are capable of it. We've seen Bridges put on the Superman cape maybe two or three times this year, not a lot. But when he finds his shot, he can score you 30 to 40. Karl-Anthony Towns has been that guy almost all year, and we know Jalen Brunson's capable of it. And you've got a guy like Josh Hart who is able to get you a triple-double, fight for rebounds, make good passes. OG Anunoby, who's an elite defender, who can hit the corner three, 5 or 7 from the three-point line last night, 23 points, a plus 15 in the game, getting his own shots much better than he was last year. And if they can get back a big piece like Mitchell Robinson to help this team a little bit more off the bench and a little bit more of a rim protector, there's no reason to think this team can't win an NBA championship. And I think this five-game set, and particularly this five-game winning streak, and particularly these last two, are showing you what they can be. And a multiple-time MVP who just went against them and can't figure them out over the last 2 years is telling you they are a top-five contender for an NBA championship. And I can't remember the last time I honestly felt that way. Maybe we said it at times last year, but did you feel it in your bones the way you feel it now? I watch this team, and there are flaws. And I'm not saying they've completely turned the corner or they won't get blown out by 20 against the Celtics on Saturday. I hope not. There might still be another moment along the line this season where we doubt them. But what they've shown you is when they play their game, they are on par with any team in the NBA. And I firmly believe that. They have the ability to beat you a myriad of different ways. They can score a bunch of different ways. They've forced turnovers that lead to points. The bench is actually getting run. Like, so many positives come out of these last two games. So many positives. And yes, again, Jokic gets into foul trouble early, hardly plays in the first half. Yeah, they get that fourth foul on Murray early on in the second half. And that hinders the ability of the Nuggets to, you know, hold on to a seven-point lead in the third quarter. But ultimately, this Knicks team turned the ball over. They played better defense. They hit their threes. They ran the floor. They did it all with the bench on the floor at times. Nobody played 40 minutes. And they are showing you the ability to be a chameleon in many ways and be a well-rounded basketball team, and you know Tibbs is going to get them there. Like, that's, we'll see what the minutes, we all understand the minutes police, and we'd love them to have a more eight-man rotation and nine on certain days. But ultimately, we know how good of a coach he is, and it's about getting this team ready. I think the All-Star break, although they're on a win game, on a five-game win streak right now, I think we're a little bit of a break for them, and then heading forward would be a huge, huge positive for them, as well as showing the ability to roll when they're on the bench. Because when they have the bench in the floor, because you understand they need to play the bench, right? And we could say it till we're blue in the face. But we've talked about the depth of this team and the concern of the depth of this team. And it helps immensely. And we know how Tibbs is a sort of, you know, doghouse type guy. Or, you know, he needs to, when the game's on the line, he's not going to trust guys he doesn't trust. These kind of wins against the Denver Nuggets go a long way. When you can go on runs and overcome a deficit after an early lead, go against the Denver Nuggets with your bench on the floor and overcome a seven-point deficit and go and take the lead and win the game and make runs, especially at the start of the fourth quarter in this game, with McBride on the floor, with Achiuwa on the floor, with Cameron Payne on the floor. That's going to go a long way to continuing to give them minutes, to continuing to keep a longer man rotation, and to continue keeping the legs of OG Anunoby, who have looked tired at times, keeping the legs of Jalen Brunson, who you just can't run into the floor. Mikal Bridges, Hart, Brunson. I was watching some, you know, thing on Instagram. The top five, the three combination of players in the NBA who've played the most minutes together on the floor. So any three players in the NBA who've spent the most minutes on the floor together, the top five combinations are all New York Knicks. Whether it's Bridges, OG Brunson, Brunson, Hart, OG, Brunson, Hart, Towns, Bridges, OG, Hart. Like, every single combination of three men on the floor at the same time, the top five in the NBA are all New York Knicks. I don't know if you can make it through the entire season that way. And last night's game of watching the bench go on runs, watching the team with McBride on the floor be able to stabilize a game and go win it against the likes of the four seed and, you know, an NBA champion and two-time MVP, Denver Nuggets and Jokic and Murray, That goes a long way to instilling confidence in this coach, who's shown sometimes the inability to do it. We scream about it. We want him to change his ways, and we think he needs to change his ways. Having a performance like this and watching the bench be able to do it, as well as Brunson with 30 and 15 assists, as well as OG Anunoby finding his legs a little bit and going 5 of 7 from three-point land. These are the kind of wins that tell you what kind of team you have here. And this was a statement win. The last two wins have been statement wins. And this five-game winning streak feels a hell of a lot better than even the nine-game winning streak of a few weeks ago. And it leads them into the Lakers. It leads them into Houston. And then it leads them into the biggest matchup of the season so far against the Boston Celtics the day before the Super Bowl. So right now, if you're a Knicks fan, it's time to get excited. It's time to really get excited as we end the football season. You know me, my favorite tweet of the year is once the Super Bowl's over, baseball season's here. But that's because of years of the Knicks not having a season. That's been years of not getting hyped up for a New York Knicks run. We're ending the football season, and we are going into basketball season, and the New York Knicks are on a run, playing the best basketball in the NBA. Just beat two of the best teams in the West, rounding into form where you can trust the bench, OG Anunoby coming around, Brunson not only being able to score, but to see the floor and get 15 assists, two starters in the All-Star game, and a chance to be one of the best teams in the NBA, and a two-time or even a three-time MVP in Jokic is telling you they are a top five contender for the NBA Finals. It's a good time to be a Knicks fan. 888-808-1019. We'll come back, take your calls on the game, take your calls on the Knicks. We'll get into a bunch of different things. The Jets have a defensive coordinator. I still have a lot of thoughts on the interview from Hal Steinbrenner and the reaction from the fans. Yesterday I killed him. Today I defend him. We'll get into that. Plenty to get to. The Mets have a reliever. The Pete Alonso situation is still there. And we know
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's written in the stars.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
All right, little blurred lines here at 226 on a Thursday morning as we're getting ready for the weekend. That's the one thing about this schedule, because I know I complain about my sleep, and I don't want to be someone who complains all the time. I don't want you to, oh, there's Chris complaining about his hours and his job, about how he talks sports for 3 hours a day. But the one positive is, for whatever reason, man, the weeks, I don't know if it's a positive or not, because I feel like my life is flying by, but the weeks, I walk out of here today, I'm 2.5 hours away from Friday. Like, that's how I view it. I'm 2.5 hours away from Friday. The weeks go by, so I was just Monday.
It does not take a lot of mental gymnastics for us to convince ourselves
Yeah. We
have like a 3.5 day weekend, and it starts really soon.
Right. That is the one benefit of the schedule. The weekend starts at 5 a.m. on Friday. And even though I have to be at work at 2 a.m., you know, Monday morning, Sunday night/Sunday night, it still feels like I have off Sunday. Like, I'm, I,
especially during football season.
Right.
The adrenaline of, hey, the games just happened. I want to talk about them. Right. Maybe not so much with the Jets and Giants because they're disgraces.
I wish they were,
but,
yeah.
You know, for the playoffs, it's fun.
100%, yeah. That's what I would want to talk about the games anyway if I weren't doing this. So, yeah, during football season especially, it feels like a three-day weekend. Every weekend. But they're just flying by, man. It's already the end of July. We're less than 2 weeks away from...
End of January.
What'd I say, July? That's how you know I don't sleep, people. We're at the end of January. We're 2 weeks away from, less than 2 weeks away now, from pitchers and catchers. We're almost a week away from the end of football season. Hopefully the weather will start to turn. I mean, this is, it's flying by.
And NFL extending to a week later than it was a few years ago helps. If they ever get it to President's Weekend, yeah, that'll be even better.
They should. That's coming, I guess, right? The 18-game schedule and finishing off on President's Weekend is eventually coming. And did you hear Evan's thing today? I don't, love to react to everything the afternoon show does all the time, but I heard something today that I don't know.
I did not. I'm very excited to. It was posted after I got here. Okay. I'm very excited to go back and listen to the Rico from last night.
Oh, yeah. No, it had nothing to do with the Rico. Evan suggested turning the Super Bowl into a two-night event. Saturday the first half, Sunday the second half of the game. I don't know why he suggested this. He was talking about WrestleMania and how that's become a two-night event. I think he was just talking about, I guess it was off of David Stern's talking about shortening the...
Adam Silver.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to... Can you just take over? I'll be back. Adam Silver talking about shortening the NBA games to 10 minutes per quarter and talking about that for a television purpose, right? I think you could make the argument that that would help the... I mean, certainly it would help a Knicks team that's playing all these minutes to shorten, the game to 10 minutes a quarter, but...
I don't know. I think Tibbs might just say, all right, 40 minutes, that's all I'm asking for, go starters.
Yeah, I know. We don't need a bench.
We might use one guy off the bench.
Yeah, right, exactly. But, So I guess Adam Silver's point was for a TV product, shortens the TV product, blah, blah, blah. So I guess Evan was coming up with the idea that, the NFL is such an iconic, and the Super Bowl is watched by however many, 60, 70 million. The Chiefs game, the Chiefs Bills game was 50 million people.
No, the Super Bowl is over 100.
Yeah,
championship got you 50.
Crazy. Unbelievable how many people watched that game. So, yeah, the Super Bowl's over 100 million. Why not split it into two nights and make it this outrageous, spectacle? First half, and then for what we do, for the purpose of what we do, can you imagine breaking down the first half and what needs to happen in the second half and having a full day over it? I'm like, I suppose, but...
I think all the regular hosts like yourself would be ticked off because they'd be asked to work Saturday night or Sunday morning.
That's true.
Boomer Geo don't want to come in Sunday morning to react to half one.
To half one of the Super Bowl, yeah. But, part of me was like, the first thing I thought is, I know there is the 28-3 Super Bowl, but who's going to pay thousands of dollars to go into the building where the game starts at 24-3? How many Super Bowls have we seen that? Like, who would go, the one at MetLife Stadium between Seattle and Denver? Who would go to the second night when the game is the game is over by halftime? That's the only thing that
only thing you could think of as a reason a good idea.
There's a lot of them. I'm just saying. My point is, his point was, imagine the ratings. And I'm like, I don't know what the ratings... You have to have a close game. Otherwise, the Sunday night ratings might not be anywhere near.
Well, it would be better because you can't split a football game into two nights.
Yes.
To get his effect, you make it a best of three and they play 3 weeks in a row.
Right. That's much more, it's crazy.
I mean, they're both bad ideas.
Terrible
I don't
ideas.
Want to make it seem like I'm in favor of that
no,
idea.
I agree, yeah.
It's just less bad than Evan's
It's
idea.
Less bad. I agree with you. To have best of three makes more sense than split the halves in two different nights. And especially a football, you can't, and to Tiki's part was like, you could twist an ankle and play the rest of that night off adrenaline before it swells up, whatever. But, if you have a minor injury, the next morning you wake up, it could be something you can't play with. So there's a bunch of different reasons why it makes no sense. But I was listening to that today as we're talking about minutes and everything else, and Adam Silver, possibly throwing out there the idea that he could shorten an NBA game to 10 minutes per quarter. And he's saying that, it's the only basketball league in the world that plays 48 minutes and not 40.
I'm sure part of him is also wondering, you know, hey, players, if I make this game only 40,
will you play?
Will some of you care about the regular season and actually play in these games that people are paying money to go to?
Yeah. I mean, I'll give it to him. I think the tournament is dopey. Some people love it. He's trying. He is trying to improve the importance of the regular season in a sport that has so many playoff teams, and it just feels like there's less and less importance to the regular season, and guys take so much time off and, you know, load management and everything else that goes with it. But the Knicks aren't load management, that's for sure. They do it differently. And right now, 5-game winning streak, the Knicks are one of the best teams in the NBA. The Knicks are an NBA championship contender. And even last year, maybe that was said, maybe in a hyped up moment somewhere deep inside, I was able to utter those words. I don't know if I ever believed it as much as I believe it right now. The New York Knicks can win the NBA championship. I firmly believe that. I don't know if they're the favorite. I don't know if I would bet them to. I don't know if I expect them to, but they can. And it doesn't take, you know, the rest of the NBA to be down. It doesn't take injuries to a better team. Like, we're going to find out on Saturday. That game against the Celtics is going to be the biggest regular season game the Knicks have had in a long time. The night before the Super Bowl, 7 o'clock, or sorry, what is it, 7:30, 8 p.m. on ABC, Knicks Celtics, 2 and 3 seeds, defending Boston Celtic NBA champion. That is going to be a huge game. And they have the Lakers and the Rockets, who are, you know, of very good teams. They're going to continue playing the best in the West. The Rockets are the 2 seed. The Lakers are the 5 seed. So, I mean, theoretically, they play consecutively the 3, 4, 2, 5 seeds in the Western Conference. And so far, they have taken down the 3 and the 4. In convincing fashion. So I don't want to dismiss the Rockets and the Lakers, or the Lakers then the Rockets. Those would be imperative wins. I don't know if I expect them to win both. I mean, to go on a 7-game win streak, including the top 5, you know, the 2 of the best, you know, 4 of the best 5 teams in the Western Conference. That's a tough ask. And where are they? Let me just double check that. Are they on the road for both of them? The Knicks will be, let me just double check. 7 the Knicks are home against the Lakers, and they're home against both of them. So they got the, before going to Toronto, that's who they have too. Toronto and then Boston. So they're Saturday night, 8:30 on ABC, in the Garden, Knicks, Lakers, as LeBron comes to New York City once again. Then they're home against the Houston Rockets on Monday. Then they go to Toronto on Tuesday. Then they're going to be fully rested off Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. 3 days rest before taking on the Celtics. Saturday, February 8th, the day before the Super Bowl, 8:30 on ABC. So they got a big game coming up this Saturday, back-to-back Saturdays. Lakers on ABC at 8:30, Celtics ABC at 8:30. And I don't want to dismiss those 3 games. And again, I told you, Toronto is the only other team in the NBA right now currently on a 5-game winning streak. I mean, the Knicks have played well against Toronto. They're better than Toronto. Obviously, Toronto's not one of the better teams in the NBA, playing better at the moment. But so I don't want to dismiss those 3 games, and they're important. I certainly don't want the Knicks to head into Boston or home against Boston off a 3-game losing streak. But I don't expect them to win all 3. I don't think they have to win all 3. You take Toronto and you split against the Lakers in Houston, you consider it a really good run heading into that Boston game. You figure out a way to either beat the Lakers or beat Houston, take care of Toronto in Toronto, you come home for Boston. That is going to be a huge game. A huge game. And then at the end of February, they have back-to-back huge games on the road. Friday, February 21st, Sunday, February 23rd, at Cleveland, at Boston. So the rest of February, they're done in January. So the month of February is a a bunch of big games. Look at this. Yeah, their February schedule is no joke. Their February schedule starts Saturday. They play the Lakers at home, Houston at home. They go on the road to Toronto, the big game at home against Boston. Then they go to Indiana, home against Atlanta, who they've struggled with. I know they beat them the last time around, but they've struggled with. The Bulls. Then they're at Cleveland, at Boston, versus Philadelphia, at Memphis. I mean, we're going to find out what kind of team this Knick team is in the month of February. Because that's, I mean, there's some, you know, easier games mixed in there. But you're starting with the Lakers. You're ending with Memphis in Memphis, who's going to want to, you know, stick it to you after what the Knicks just did to them at home, beating them 143-106. So Memphis has got that game circled on the calendar at the end of the month. And in between the Lakers and Memphis sandwich, you've got Houston, you've got Boston, you've got Atlanta, you've got Cleveland, you've got Boston, you've got Philadelphia. The month of February is going to tell you a lot about this New York Knicks team. And going into it right now, I agree with Jokic. I think they are a top five team in the NBA, and I think they are a top five team as a threat to win the NBA championship. And that's saying something we haven't been able to say in a long time. You know, I've been talking about this a lot with the Giants and Saquon Barkley and even with Brett in Long Island, my indifference with the New York Giants. I am a Giant fan. I love the New York Giants. Right? They've been you know how I feel about the Yankees. The Giants are my number two team, have been my whole life. I can still hear my father screaming play action pass. I've grown up a huge Giant fan. Over the last handful of years, it's hard to not feel a level of just, you know, sickness and indifference halfway through the years. And that's why I have a tough time, you know, getting all upset about Saquon Barkley being a Philadelphia Eagle. One, I don't even consider the Eagles a rivalry at the moment. They kicked the crap out of the Giants in every big game for the last 20 years. It's hard to consider it a rivalry. Even with championships mixed in the middle, never comes at the Eagles' expense, ever. And over the last handful of years with Saquon Barkley, the seasons have been dead by week 7. 1-5 in 4 of his 6 years. 4 of the 6 years Saquon Barkley played with the New York Giants, they were 1-5 after 6 games. It's hard to care, and especially in the NFL, when you transition right into your fantasy team, you transition right into gambling, especially the last handful of years where it's been legal here in New York. And it's been legal in New Jersey longer than that, and I live right on the Jersey border. I had a Sunday morning routine. I'd make my cup of coffee. I'd drive the 6 miles over to Vernon, New Jersey, place my bets in my car, head back home. Like, by week 6, I'm on to something else. It's the NBA. It's the NFL. I'll watch the games, but who cares if they win? In fact, I'm probably most likely hoping they lose to get a better draft pick. That's year after year after year. The Knicks, forget about it. It was 2 decades of what the Giants have been the last 5 years. 2 decades of it. And I've never seen them. Most of the people listening to my voice right now have never seen the Knicks win an NBA championship. You got to go back to the early 70s. I mean, it's generations ago. And for a long time, the ineptitude at Madison Square Garden was a laughingstock. From 2000 until you know Randall resurrected them and had that season in 2020. I mean, you're talking about 20 years of being awful and not having any reason to pay attention to them. So, I mean, right now, if you look at it, how they're playing, who they're beating, the level of play that they can get to, and having 2 starters in the All-Star game, the first time since 1975. The 90s Knicks never had it. Now, it's not about All-Star appearances, and it's not about stars even, if it's about winning. I get it. But in the NBA, stars win. And for the first time since 1975, the Knicks have 2 of the best 5 players in the Eastern Conference. I mean, and they're a legitimate contender for the NBA championship. And I know it's only January. And I know I'm getting my hopes up, and I'm pinning them on the last two games against West Coast teams coming across the country and having poor performances, because I'll even admit that. Look, I thought Jokic played a terrible game. He got into early foul trouble and then kind of just decided he wasn't going to play defense because he didn't want to get into any more foul trouble. Murray got off the floor in the second half because of his foul trouble, so I'm not trying to tell you that they play the Denver Nuggets in a seven-game series, they're going to kick the crap out of them, but or that this game was a clear indication that the Knicks are the best team in basketball, but like these are two solid wins at home. And they're on a five-game winning streak, and the last two have been against the two of the top three teams, two of the top four teams in the Western Conference. And you've got one of the best players in the NBA telling you they're a top five team. We haven't heard this, felt this, smelled this in a long time. Even last year, when they were the best team in basketball for the month of January. After the OG trade, and they beat Memphis that first game, and Memphis was, you know, top two seed in the Western Conference at the time. Then they blew out the Denver Nuggets in Denver, and they went on that magical run of January where they were unstoppable with Randall, Brunson, and OG. Even then, as great as that team was and as high as hopes we got, I don't know if I felt as confident in the ability to win an NBA championship as I do right now. It's been since 1999 that I have felt this confident or hopeful of a New York Knicks basketball team. 1999. The Subway Series hadn't happened yet. I mean, that's how long you have to go back. Y2K hadn't happened yet. It's 25 years. It's a quarter century. A quarter century. It's time to get pumped, man. It's time to get pumped. You should be calling me right now. 888-808-1019. We should be pumped. I know a bunch of people are getting on me for not talking St. John's. St. John's, what are they, the 15th, number 15 team in the country right now? Playing great. Patino's got them all, you know, playing great basketball. You could be looking at a 4 or 5 seed. I know Patino wants to be a 1 seed. You've got to, I mean, they're going to, barring, you know, I don't want to jinx them, but barring a collapse here, they're going to the tournament. And I know we want to be excited about that, but it's time to get excited about the New York Knicks. And I know they've been in the playoffs the last couple of years, and I know that, you know, this is expected, and they should be this good. But I'm really starting to get excited about this team. This is an impressive win. These last two nights, it's fun watching the Knicks, man. This was a fun game to watch. Turnovers, points off turnovers, fast breaks, dunks, hitting threes, playing defense. Watching our captain Jalen Brunson take over the game. I mean, Josh Hart, he's been a Knick for less than 2 years. He feels like the backbone of the franchise for the last decade. It's unbelievable how much this team has grown on us. And we've been desperate for it. We've been crawling through the desert with the Knicks so long that we would drink the sand. But this isn't sand, man. This isn't a mirage. This is legitimately a top five team in the NBA. This is legitimately a very dangerous basketball team. And this is legitimately a team that can win an NBA championship. And it's got me pumped up on this Thursday morning. We'll get to other things that pump me up. Like Stanek with the New York Mets. We'll get to the Mets. We'll get to the Yankees with Hal Steinbrenner and some of the comments still there. Wilkes, another big name that pumps you up. Because I'll be totally honest with you. Right? Steve Wilkes is now, it's been official, it's been in the making for a while now at the New York Jets that he was going to be the defensive coordinator. And I think it's a fine hire. Right? You've got a head coach who's the defensive coach. Yes, he's not going to be calling plays, but he's the head coach. It's his defense. You know, Wilkes will work underneath AG and his defense. And the main point you like about Wilkes is that he's the some experience and he's a head coach. He's been a head coach in this league. A failed head coach. Now, did he get a fair shake in Arizona? I think it's very hard. There's very few circumstances. Maybe Urban Meyer. Other than that, there are very few circumstances where a coach gets a fair shake after being fired after 1 year. So I don't know what kind of head coach he was. And then he actually did a fairly decent job. He did a fairly decent job of being the interim coach in Carolina. They actually played better with him as the head coach. But I'm sorry. I know you want some experience. This isn't, they didn't hire Pete Carroll to be the defensive coordinator. Like it's not an enormous amount of experience. He's been a coach in this league. He definitely has some experience. He understands the trials and tribulations. He's been let go unfairly, unjustly, if you want to say that about Arizona. And I certainly think that you can make a case for that. He's seen Frank Wright fail in Carolina. He's been around it. He's been around struggles. He's been around winning as defensive coordinator. He wasn't a very good defensive coordinator in San Francisco, or at least they didn't think so. So it's hard to get enthused about the hire, and especially I don't think you need to. You don't need a great hire as defensive coordinator when it's, you know, the head coach is the defensive coordinator. You're looking for someone for him to lean on, and especially rookie GM and most likely a rookie offensive coordinator. That's why I want to lean on the quarterback a little bit, the experience of the quarterback. Like, that's the experience I want. Sure, I want the defensive coach or somebody on the staff who's had head coaching experience to bounce stuff off of. Of course, with a rookie head coach, makes a lot of sense. But you want to give this coach someone he can lean on? You want to give this coach someone he doesn't have, you know, the ability to get experience on the field? Who has more experience than Aaron Rodgers on the field? Like, that's the guy I want him to be able to lean on. And the more and more I think about it, and the more and more I go back to that press conference, and I saw Costello, who covers the Jets for the Post, say this on a clip I saw on Twitter doing some podcast. The more I think about it, I think he's right. I didn't get, now that I think about how it was presented at that press conference, I don't think they want to keep him. I'm feeling more and more like they're going to move on from Aaron Rodgers, because if you wanted Aaron Rodgers, or at least were really considering bringing Aaron Rodgers back. Now, they certainly didn't say they wouldn't take him back, and they said they'll talk about it, but wouldn't you have talked him up a little bit more? Wouldn't you have said, do I want Aaron Rodgers? I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers is a four-time MVP, Super Bowl champion, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play. I mean, why wouldn't I want him? Even if it's not like you're pigeonholed into taking him, you could still say that and then move on. No one's going to hold your feet to the fire saying, why wouldn't I want him? You know, we'll have to talk to Aaron. Like, there was very little give in any aspect to Aaron Rodgers. It was just, hey, we'll talk about it. Great player, we'll talk about it. Everything's going to be discussed. And I'm trying not to read too much into it, but Brian Costello said that, and I'm thinking about it. It's true. If you really had any real intention of keeping Aaron Rodgers, I feel like he might have been talked up a little bit more. But we'll see what happens. That's the decision they still have to make, and I hope they make the right one. Whatever it is, I hope the Jets make the right one, because I want to see this thing turn around. I want them to be successful. I'm tired of watching crappy football here. I'm tired of watching the Giants and Jets be the laughingstock of the NFL. I'm tired of all the nonsense. I'm tired of not seeing playoff games. I'm tired of having to talk about other teams and other quarterbacks and other head coaches. Over and over again. A lot of it's the same. Tired of it. 888-808-1019. Let's fit in Chris in Chatham. What's up, Chris?
Chris, that makes two of us. I am so tired of New York football. It drives me insane.
That's it's sickening. And that's why I'm ready to move on to basketball season. And then, once the Super Bowl's over, it is baseball season, baby.
Now, you got me pumped up tonight about the New York Knicks. Yeah. And like you, I'm Yankees, Giants, and I'm Knicks, and 20 years in the desert, you know, of the NBA, and I got to tell you, it's been so great to see this team come around and to see where they're at, and I got a couple questions for you, and you can kind of talk about it.
Yeah.
I can hang up. One, LeBron James.
Yep.
Okay, so disrespect, New York basketball, you know, the decision, the whole nine yards. I still think we owe it to take that guy out Saturday night.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think. Did you think the decision disrespected New York basketball?
Well, I think we forget about it, and I think, you know, New York. I mean, everybody kind of shied away from New York because guys like LeBron talked it down. And I'm not saying they were wrong.
No, Well, I mean, I don't know. The reports that have come out since are that him and Dwayne Wade were very interested in becoming Knicks, but Donnie Walsh and the owner didn't really make a great showing of it.
Yeah,
and it turned them off. But, I mean, I don't remember him. I mean, he always talks about the Garden. Now, what did he say negative about New York basketball? I'm not saying I want to beat him or that, you know, the game against the Lakers, and maybe I've downplayed it because I'm looking ahead to the Celtic game.
Yeah.
But I don't think that, you know, it's about beating the great player. I'll give you this, right? Because we've said this a ton, and we've all been sick of the great player talking up New York basketball, talking up Madison Square Garden, talking up the mecca of basketball, but never wanting to come here and play. So that I agree with you. Right. But I don't remember him talking down New York. Maybe there was something I'm not thinking of at the moment, but I'm sick.
I guess I'm reacting to what Jokic said tonight when he called us a top five team.
When's the last time we have heard something like that? You're 100% right. When's the last time a great player came in here, got his ass kicked, and then talked about how great the Knicks are? It's always the other way. The great player comes in, kicks the crap out of him, and talks about how great the city and the building is. Now we got the great player coming in, getting his ass kicked by the Knicks and talking about how good the team is. That never happens.
Yeah, that was classy. So the bigger question for you, maybe, you know, while the other callers are getting ready to call in, when you look about the New York terrain and you think about the Knicks and you think about the Yankees and the other teams, forget about the football team.
We don't have to talk about the other teams.
What's your top five ranking of the New York teams that are best well positioned to potentially win a championship, whether it's the Yankees, the Knicks?
The best top five position teams to win a championship. I mean, thank you for the sports radio layup. I appreciate it. Couldn't have come up with the topic better myself. I mean, we've done it a million times, but okay. When we come back, we're up against the break. McMonagle's C-Max top five most likely to next win a championship in New York sports.